Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
For people to show in numbers that they don't agree with this prop passing, because like we said, it's more about civil rights than religious rights.
Take a stand against discrimination. Take a stand against bigotry. The Proposition A was about bigotry when you have a majority voting for the rights of the minority.
I hope that in 30 years we don't have situations like this. I hope that we can move forward as a state and as a nation where there are equal rights for everybody.
Some of the protesters of Prop 8 out in California, it banned gay marriage, but of course, this thing is a political football. Unlike real footballs, it goes back and forth on the field. Where it will end up, we do not know. We're going to talk about the gay rights protests in California over the passage of Prop 8. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will be our guest for the first 10 minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's Wednesday, November the 12th. Feel free to join us this afternoon, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or email us right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. In about 10 minutes, we'll discuss Original Sin with Pastor Stephen Parks. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Diego. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason University. And she's author of the books Love and Economics and Smart Sex. Jennifer, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Are you surprised by the gay rights protests out there in California?
Well, you know, I think I said to you on this, even on this show, before Prop 8 passed, people were always asking me, what do you think? Is Prop 8 going to pass? And I remember saying more than once, I believe it will pass, but the opponents of Prop 8 will do something to try to block its being implemented. So I'm not entirely surprised, but I am surprised by the extremity to which they're going. I'm surprised by how virulent and really utterly irrational the whole thing is. I mean, the whole point of having an initiative is for people to vote on something, and the fact is, the only argument they have is, this is our fundamental right, and you're hurting our feelings. Those are their arguments. And that's what the election was about, was people do not view it as a fundamental right. If they did, the discussion would be over, you know? I mean, we don't think that's what it is. And that's why the black community voted against them, because they don't see it as a civil right. That what they're doing is they're assuming the conclusion and saying that anybody who disagrees with the conclusion they've come to has something wrong with them. And so the election itself was completely fair, completely legitimate, and they're trying to throw it out over a technicality.
I understand that California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has made a statement. What do you know about it?
I don't know anything more than you know about it. You know, whatever you read in the paper, that's all I know about it. I'm seeing that different groups of legislators are calling for the judges to overturn it. It's really the theory that they're using is that it isn't actually an amendment to the Constitution. It's actually a revision to the Constitution. That is, it's so thoroughgoing that it should never have been done by the initiative process. It should have been a revision has to be promoted by the legislator. Well, if that's the case, they should have said so in July. Honestly, that is a very lame argument in my view, because we were in court twice during the summer arguing over ballot language and the like, and in one of those court appearances, Jerry Brown changed the title of the amendment. It used to say the defines marriage limit constitutional amendment, limits on marriage amendment, And Jerry Brown changed it to say eliminates the rights of same-sex couples to marry. So we've been in court over this thing. So for them, after the fact, to say that it's a revision, not an amendment, and it never should have been allowed on the ballot. The two sides combined spent over $70 million on this thing. It's really a gross change of the rules after the fact for them to be taking this kind of tack.
All right, I want you to respond to several of the, I wouldn't call them so much criticisms as I would several of the arguments that are being made on the side of those who really question the passage of Prop 8 fundamentally. One of them, San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom. He says that this is unprecedented because it takes rights away rather than expands rights for Californians. Your response?
Well, that's their argument, but that's the argument that did not prevail amongst the voters. You know, I mean, what we say is it wasn't a right, it was a privilege. They were given a privilege, and part of the privilege was not just their right to get married and have a marriage license rather than having a domestic partnership. The other thing, as I think we've talked about on the show, is that the redefinition that the judge did greatly expanded the rights of same-sex couples to sue religious people. It greatly expanded the list of things for which they can sue and increased their probability of succeeding. So to say that it's a civil rights issue and nothing but a civil rights issue obscures the deeper issues and the deeper problems that Proposition 8 was meant to address. What they're really saying is that our side is so right that no one dare disagree with us. And what that means is that those of us who do disagree with us can expect to be treated as if we were racists. And if you look at the advertisement that they ran against the Mormon Church, if you look at the way they're treating the Mormon Church, that is what the rest of us have in store for us if the gay rights movement succeeds here. Because they're treating them as if, I mean, they're not even remotely decent to these people. And when I look at how we ran the campaign, you look at our advertising, you look at our commercials, our printed material, there is nothing in our material that says gays are creeps, be mean to gays. I mean, there's nothing. We made arguments about what we thought were the likely consequences of the judge's ruling versus overturning the judge's ruling. That's where we kept the argument. And then for them to turn around and literally demonize the members of the Mormon Church simply because they disagree with them, it's unprecedented. It's unprecedented for them to treat people like that.
What do you make of the parallel that they draw? In fact, Gavin Newsom has said it's an exact parallel, interracial marriage and same-sex marriage.
That's completely ridiculous. It's ridiculous because they're assuming that race and gender have the same relationship to the institution of marriage, which they do not. Marriage is a gender-based institution, and to change it into a gender-neutral institution is to do something fundamentally different about it. Race has nothing to do with marriage. You know, and besides, these were the arguments that were fought out during the campaign. We won that campaign. Prop 8 won that campaign fair and square. We should not be having to go back to these arguments again, Todd. And we won. Just look at this. We won 52-48%. Not a particularly close vote. It's, in fact, the same percentage of popular votes by which Barack Obama won the presidency. And we should not be having to go back to this well and fighting this over and over again.
Well,
We made these arguments, and we prevailed.
That's connected to another objection I've heard, and this is kind of more popularly made, that somehow in California, the minority found a way to impose its view on the majority with the passage of Prop 8. Your response?
Well, you know, that depends on how you – in politics, counting minorities and majorities is always the interesting problem now, isn't it? I mean, in one sense of the word, you could view it that way, but in the other sense of the word, you could view it as David and Goliath here. I mean, we had – the judiciary, the governor, the legislature against us. We had Hollywood, the media against us, all the major newspapers against us. And yet, without getting a single favorable newspaper editorial of any significance, we managed to convince people that this matters, that this is a serious issue. We had 100,000 volunteers, Todd, Okay, and so that's the largest grassroots campaign that I have ever heard of. We had 70,000 donors to our campaign. Okay, maybe it's a minority, but for crying out loud, I don't know what you would want as far as having a genuine grassroots overturning of something that people really feel is being shoved down their throats by the political establishment. That argument just drives me crazy, you know, because honestly, the political classes, the elites of California have decided that we're going to have same-sex marriage, and what the people want can be damned. That's really their position. And frankly, people are tired of being pushed around. And that's why this whole thing started, as a matter of fact, because the city council of San Diego pushed people around in a way that they never should have done, you know? I mean, they could have gone on a long time and making incremental gains, but no, they had to push for marriage. They had to treat the voters with contempt, and now they're treating us with even more contempt. This is not a good thing.
Okay,
not a good thing what they're doing here.
With only 30 seconds here, Jen, why is traditional marriage good for society? 30 seconds.
Because marriage attaches mothers and fathers to one another and mothers and fathers to their children. And that is a gender-based kind of thing. And what is happening to us is that we're changing marriage from a child-centered gender-based institution into an adult-centered, gender-neutral institution, and it will have far-reaching consequences.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute, based in San Diego. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, author of the books Love and Economics and Smart Sex. We have a link posted to Jennifer Roback-Morse and the Ruth Institute under the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. Jen, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, original sin. It's not just the original sin that Adam and Eve fell into. It's the state in which we are all born and live and die. How bad is it? How bad is the bad news for which we need Jesus with the good news? We'll talk original sin with Pastor Stephen Parks on the other side of the get.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, click promote, and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. issuesetc.org.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Pro-lifers change Google policy.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Google, the world's leading internet search engine, recently announced that it is changing a company policy that discriminated against religious groups. Previously, whenever someone typed the word abortion into the Google search engine, only paid advertisements from secular organizations would appear on the side of the screen. In March 2008, the Christian Institute of Great Britain, a non-denominational charity, sued Google over this policy. Google settled out of court, and now when someone searches for information on abortion on Google, they can find links that help them choose life.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.